This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton for the stay.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not giving Joe Biden a taste of his own medicine. Check it out, RFK Jr., saying that Biden and the Democrats are a bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump.
Come on, man.
We are coming on. In this hour, we'll get into it. All we know for sure is that if RFK Jr. is smart, he will hire a food taster soon.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
888-788-9910. If you want to be a part of this audio safe space for cool people where we say every day, you can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat, you could be a Libertarian, you could be an Independent. You don't even have to be American, technically speaking. You could be one of the wives of the, you know, say, the members of Hamas. Okay, the point is you're all welcome. Just behave. Just do not be a boom. There it is. Happy Tuesday. We're in a good mood. You find me in good spirits today. Got some sleep last night, unlike that West Coast swing to Helena, Montana. And, of course, the lovely and fabulous folks of Spokane, Michigan. Spokane, Michigan. That's how much sleep I got. I don't even know what state I was in. Spokane, Washington is where I was.
Have you ever had a checkup?
Yes, I've had a checkup, but I've also had too many flights. And I'm getting back on a plane this Friday. I will be out at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center Friday night in Federal Way, Washington, just outside of Seattle. And then, of course, Saturday we are at the Egyptian Theater in Boise. And some seats are still available. So if you do want to come, you do need to get moving right now.
That's true.
That is true.
But we begin not with me shamelessly plugging the Everybody Calm Down tour, although it is it's a fabulous time. We begin with a little talk about the 2024 election, because this RFK thing, dude, I find this so funny. Like, this made my day on the way in this morning. I came in, you know, usual time. It's like 5 a.m. in the morning. Making my way through the gunfire on the Long Island Expressway. People are cutting you off, giving you the finger. And those are just the church vehicles. But as you try to make your way through the LIE at that time of the day, you're looking for hope. You're looking for some form of entertainment to hold you over. And as I come across this RFK thing, I just die laughing. Because to be clear, RFK Jr. is telling the truth when he says that Joe Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump. I only say that, why? Because has Donald Trump prosecuted any of his political opponents?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no, okay? We have never indicted a president or a former president in 247-year history of the country. The only president to preside over such a thing was Joe Biden, who presided over it not once, not twice, but 91 times.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Never mind the big tech collaboration to censor their political opponents. Never mind what's coming out now in the wash about the lengths they went to with the federal spying apparatus to censor and track people that were shopping at, say, Dick's Sporting Goods or anybody who had any interest whatsoever in the Second Amendment and might have voted Trump. Okay, the overreach when it comes to limiting your choices in a democracy belongs entirely to Joe Biden. Okay, there's one thing Trump hasn't tried to do. Okay, you might not like that he denied the results of the 2020 election, But there's a word for the people who deny the results of elections. Okay? Those people are called Democrats.
As I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
Do you agree that Donald Trump is, in effect, not a legitimate president?
I think that there's no question that the process that elected him was not legitimate.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
Donald Trump is an illegitimate president.
I think the interference, although not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016.
So do you believe President Trump is an illegitimate president?
Based on what I just said, which I can't retract.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president who got illegitimate foreign help.
I mean,
what the hell were you thinking?
They can say stuff like this because we are absolutely positively living in a world of double standards. And I tell you this all the time. When there's a double standard, there's no standard. If you're going to throw Trump in jail or put him on trial for denying the results of the election, then every single person in that montage and a few thousand more who were members of the media and current members of the Biden cabinet also belong on trial.
Bingo, man. Bingo.
When you only try one side, you're undermining people's faith in the process. And that's very much what they're doing with Trump. Now, what the Democrats like to tell you is, well, you know, we didn't have a January 6th, though, so it's different.
That is absolutely the most ridiculous excuse I have ever heard in my entire career as a disciplinarian.
3 o'clock High, one of the best 80s cult movies you'll ever watch, filmed right there off the side of Route 15 in Ogden, Utah, at that famous high school with the clock out front. Just gorgeous. But the point is, when you talk about legitimate threats to democracy, when you talk about undermining faith in democracy, Trump questioning the results of an election in which we voted in an unprecedented manner, in which we had never voted in before, has a lot more standing in theory than anything the Democrats did in 2016 when they said it was stolen, 2004 when they said Bush stole Ohio and stole the election from John Kerry, or the year 2000 when they said Bush stole Florida from Al Gore. Okay, understand that they want Trump to die in prison because he said one election was stolen. The Democrats have said the last three elections they lost were stolen.
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, and the point is, okay, when it comes to this whole, you know, threat to democracy thing.
You are so full of shit.
Here's RFK Jr., okay? He takes a trip over to CNN.
CNN is the worst.
Maybe so. Okay, but he is asked about threats to democracy. And God love him, okay, because he wants to beat Trump. They've just gained enough signatures to get on the ballot in North Carolina. Okay, the guy is not running to be a spoiler. The guy is not running to throw the election to one candidate or the other. What the guy is running to do is to force a hard change on Washington. It is something I admire greatly. I just wish his voice wasn't so soothing to listen to. You know, it's just so calming. It's hard for me to stay awake. I kid. He suffers from an affliction, and I genuinely feel for him. But these clips I play on the radio are difficult. But what he has to say is worth battling through to hear, okay, because his words ring true. Clip one.
Do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is this an equal evil,
I mean,
to Biden?
I mean, listen, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics.
I admire your honesty.
Okay, and what he's saying there is the truth. Joe Biden is the first president in this country, okay, to force social media companies to open up a portal where all the spying apparatus in this country can now seize the private communication of Americans. That's number one. Number two, he has also presided over several Democratic-run states, engaging in an effort to kick his political opponent off the ballot at a time when he's losing to the guy in the polls.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
You're talking about a threat to democracy. Okay, at least, but under Donald Trump, there's a democracy. He's not kicking his opponent off the ballot. Okay, Joe Biden is literally trying to run unopposed. The Democratic Party would not recognize the primary challenge of RFK, a Democrat. Understand the significance of that. RFK is a Democrat, RFK Jr. Okay, his father was a Democrat, ran for president, sadly was assassinated. Okay, his uncle was a president and sadly was assassinated. And understand, in making another run for the White House as a Kennedy, okay, it's technically the fourth because Ted Kennedy was also considered a presidential contender at one point. He served most of his life in the Senate, where he made a pretty big splash along the way. But enough about his driving. The point is, RFK Jr. was denied the right to be acknowledged as a Democratic candidate for president. The party simply said, talk to the hand, RFK Jr. Talk to the hand, Dean Phillips. We're not debating you. We're not acknowledging you. Talk to the hand, Marianne Williamson. You don't count. They physically just, you know, when you're playing with a three-year-old and they're standing in the middle of your kitchen and they go, I'm hiding. You can't see me. And now you just have to pretend you can't see them. That's what the Democrats legitimately did in an election year to actual registered Democrats. Some are representatives of Congress in the case of Dean Phillips. Others are lifelong Democrats like RFK Jr. And yes, we have some moonbats like Marianne Williamson. But the fact remains they were denied their right in our democracy to challenge Joe Biden for the nomination.
This is total crap.
Is it ever? And they tell you with a straight face, well, no, you got to get this out of the way because Trump's a threat to democracy. We just got to let Biden do his thing. And that's what they went with. With a straight face, by the way. Here's RFK Jr., one more clip, talking about how Biden has weaponized federal agencies by going after the First Amendment, which, again, understand the First Amendment, your speech. If your speech ain't free, you ain't free. You dig? When you control the speech, you control the people. The First Amendment exists squarely, okay? Not to protect you from getting fired if you say something stupid on Twitter. Okay, not to protect you from losing sponsorship deals if you go out and disgrace yourself in the public forum. The First Amendment specifically exists so the government cannot target you for the things you say.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, but here is Joe Biden openly training the government's targets on the speech of private citizens. Clip two.
President Biden, for the first president in history to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
to
democracy.
Donald Trump, of course, tried to overturn a free and fair election. He tried to overturn one, right? He's still fighting in court.
Yes.
How is that not a threat to democracy?
Well, I think that is a threat to democracy. If trying to overthrow the election clearly is a threat to democracy. But the question was, who is a worse threat to democracy? And what I would say is, I'm not going to answer that question, but I can argue that President Biden is, because the First Amendment, Aaron, is the most important.
Yep, it is the most important amendment.
He knows what he's talking about.
And understand, when the anchor says Donald Trump tried to overturn an election, that is not what he has been convicted of. That is what they're claiming he tried to do.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
So she's trying to say, well, you know, Joe Biden trained the government to spy on private citizens. Joe Biden forced big tech companies to give the FBI access to your private and legally protected data. Joe Biden weaponized the justice system against his political opponents. But believe me, honey, okay? Trump's the bigger threat based on the straw man argument that we're trying to present.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
And that's how they get stuff done. It's social pressure campaigns. Oh, do you believe RFK saying Biden's a bigger threat than Trump? Now, if you were to write this down on paper, there's no world where he isn't. Okay, Trump has done none of the things that Joe Biden has done to his political opponents. Trump, who led Lock Her Up Chance as a presidential candidate in 2016, got into office and on the very first day said he is glad there will be no prosecution of Hillary Clinton because he thought it was better for the country that she not go to jail. That's called taking the high road. Are the Democrats taking the high? No, they're taking you off-road with an unprecedented journey to target their number one political opponent. So when they try to get on TV with a straight face and tell you, oh, well, you know, Biden's got to win. Democracy's on the ballot. Okay, if Biden had it his way, there wouldn't even be a ballot. And that's the bottom line.
Bingo.
It's the show that never hits the books.
I love the poorly educated.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla doing the damn thing at 888-788-9910. A lot of goings on in the 2024 election. If there's anybody out there who knows them, it is Wally, who joins us now from St. Petersburg Beach, Florida. Wally!
Jimmy, my man, RFK should be, you know, run for president and come with his message. Jimmy Failla can do it, too. This is our toy. This government of the people, by the people, the people is ours.
I agree with that.
It's not the Republican Party's government. It's not the Democrat Party's government. And it's a popularity contest every presidential. So this, whenever I hear this, oh, you're hurting our candidate. Yeah. Well, sorry, that's our government.
Yeah, get over it. And that's the thing. Nobody has an obligation to not run. You know, the whole point of this thing is everybody has a voice. And if somebody wants to throw their hat in the ring, they should have that opportunity. So I agree with you there. And what you're starting to see, though, because RFK is taking positions that this is an honest position, that Biden's a bigger threat to democracy. They're now going to officially label him as like a Trump toady who's only in the race to hurt Biden. And they're going to hit him with everything imaginable. Now, this
the ugly side of politics is that his own family members.
Yep.
Are turning against him. That's just it's horrendous that a family would tear apart over politics.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but that's the reality, and you know that's a Democratic thing. Don't get me wrong. I know there are Republicans that are mad at their Democratic family members just the same. But if you were to look at our channels per se, compare Fox to MSNBC or CNN or, you know, things that traditionally lean right or left, there's only one side that allows the other side a voice. Like Fox puts on any Democrat, say whatever the hell you want. The viewers might not like it, but we want to have the discussion. They don't want to have the discussion. And the way to limit it is by shaming anybody who disagrees with them out of the public square. So that's what they're trying to do to RFK Jr. But it won't.
Well,
work
I would say with,
what happened
I would
is
say
like
with,
people outgrew it. Go ahead.
I would say with RFK Jr., I would like to have Don Corleone voice in the White House for every meeting. Can you anybody that any country that comes and has a meeting with him, he just can sit there behind the desk and go, "I'm going to make you an offer."
I'm going to make you an offer you can't really hear, and that's fine. It will go less war that way, I guess. Wally, you still got it, man. Sharp call to start the show. Thank you, brother. There he goes, the great Wally, as we circle back out to break. Okay, Wally makes a really good point. It's sad. It's a sad day when people stop talking to their family members over politics, and you're not supposed to be that. If you listen to this show, America was not built on agreement. It was built on the ability to disagree tactfully. which is what we need to do, okay? Because we're not doing that right now. Right now, it's like, I disagree, and everybody's like,
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
There it is, Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla. Reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Fastest growing show on the radio, if we're talking about my weight.
That boy is a P-I-G pig.
Stop it. I'm doing all right. Although I'm never going to forgive myself for that gold sport coat I wore Saturday night. Did you see the gold paisley tuxedo jacket I wore on Fox News Saturday night?
That was embarrassing.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen on a TV set. I'm not trying to be modest or self-deprecating. That thing was awful. I was a little sleep-deprived last week. As you can tell, I'm a little peppier, a little sharper today. I'll tell you who's not sharp, if this soundbite is accurate. So Joe Biden yesterday gets interviewed at the White House Easter egg roll.
I don't remember that ever happening.
No, it happened, okay? We got all kinds of interview footage and everything in between. But if you remember, there was a little bit of an uproar on Sunday because the White House, issued a proclamation on Easter Sunday, the high holy day of the Christian Catholic faith, congratulating or declaring or expressing their support and acknowledgement that Easter Sunday was also Trans Visibility Day.
You cannot be serious!
Now, it doesn't matter that the trans community now has over 20 different holidays on the calendar or that there's 3 different months dedicated to their visibility. It was necessary to overlap this holiday with Easter. And to be clear, this holiday or calendar marker has been on the books since 2009, now that everyone goes back and does their research, but we've only started to acknowledge it recently under the Biden administration. Okay, the Biden administration now declaring to the world, a great percentage of which is celebrating Easter Sunday, the Biden administration declaring to the world that over here we're not doing religious symbols because it's Trans Day of Visibility.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
A lot of people feel that way. Okay, but Biden yesterday, after introducing the Oyster Bunnies, okay, also went on to say, okay, that he does not, or he did not do the whole thing. He did not issue the statement. Okay, he did not issue the statement saying that today, okay, and this is the official statement from the White House Twitter account. And by the official White House Twitter account, I mean Joe Biden's Twitter account. This is the statement that was put out. Today, we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved, you are heard, you are understood, you belong, you are America and my entire administration, and I have your back. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. That is an official statement on Joe Biden's Twitter account. Now, according to Biden in a pool report at yesterday's Easter egg roll, where they were greeted by the Oyster Bunny, as Biden called it, clip 11.
God bless you all. Enjoy the day. And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Oyster Bunnies. He says, say hello to the Oyster Bunnies.
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
But anyway, shortly after he greeted the Oyster Bunny, he told pool reporters that that wasn't him. He did not. He did not. Okay. Declare it Transgender Day of Visibility. Okay, this story coincides with what? House Speaker Mike Johnson, writing in a post on X, which is the latest name for Twitter. It'll have a new name the next time Elon Musk gets stoned and goes on a podcast. But over the weekend, Mike Johnson wrote on X that the White House betrayed the central tenet of Easter, adding that the proclamation was outrageous and abhorrent, to which Biden responded to a pool report, "Mike Johnson is thoroughly uninformed. I didn't do that." That's Biden's claim. I didn't do that. However, his Twitter account literally says the words, "I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility," which raises the question, are they running this thing without Biden knowing? Probably. Here's Mike Johnson saying as much on the Sean Hannity Show. This is clip 14.
"Well, it's his own signature on the document. That's why we posted it. The evidence speaks for itself, as we used to say in the courtroom. But look, it's highly possible that he doesn't even know what he's signing, Sean. I mean, that might be even more alarming. But I think this episode highlights what your two previous guests have already said. I think Vivek and Laura said it very well. This election is about showing the contrast between these two visions for America. And this proclamation on Easter Sunday is just a great example of that. This radical leftist progressive vision for the country is not who we are as Americans. And I think most of the country agrees with us, Sean. And I think that's why we're going to have a very successful election in November."
Okay, think about that. If Biden didn't do it, as he's claiming, there's only one of two ways for this to go. Okay, either Biden did do it, and just simply can't remember 24 hours earlier, which is possible.
Biden's lost his marbles.
A lot of people do believe that. Or there's this other world where my suspicions are confirmed, and I've told you this in the past. The Biden presidency is an iTunes user agreement. What I mean by that is whenever you want a new app on your iPhone, they present you with a user agreement that nobody reads. You scroll to the bottom and click, "I agree." And that's how they treat Biden. They say, "Yo, you want your pudding cup? Scroll to the bottom of this. Click, I agree." He's like, "But I haven't even read." Just scroll to the bottom and click, "I agree." Come on, scroll, old man.
Come on, man.
And that's what he does. And it's very possible that he declared it National Trans Day of Visibility without even knowing. Because here's one thing about the underhanded move made by the White House on Sunday. Are you ready for this? The White House has two Twitter accounts for Joe Biden. One is in English. The other is done in Spanish.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Okay, and here's what you need to know about the account that posts in Spanish. The White House did not issue a happy Trans Day of Visibility to its Latino community. Why? Because they don't support the values of the transgender community.
Oh, wow!
They support the Bible. They support that God made man in his image as man and woman. They don't believe that you can, you know, do anything other than celebrate Halloween by calling yourself a gender other than the one you were assigned at birth. The Latino community, like the Black community, the vast, vast, vast majority of which, okay, adheres to the Mr. Fred Rogers teaching of gender.
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady.
Now understand. Okay, that's how the vast, 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 vast majority of Latinos feel. It's how the vast, vast, vast majority of Black Americans feel. Okay, when you look at the polling on this, it's off the charts. So understand, I'm not here to tell you the trans community doesn't have every right that should be afforded to them under the Constitution. Of course they do. Okay, but it's not popular within certain communities. And the White House, understand, is only issuing these tweets as a political mechanism. They're not just killing time on the toilet. Okay, they're trying to brand this president the right way to certain communities. So to the white woke left, yeah, men can have babies.
They're crazy.
Okay, but they, with a straight face. No, men can have babies. Mr. Rogers, that guy was a hateful bigot.
Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies, yes, sir.
Now, according to the modern woke left, Fred Rogers should die in prison for that type of hateful bigotry. Okay, if he was saying that in the UK, he'd be sharing a bunk with J.K. Rowling right now. We haven't covered that show at great length. We haven't covered that story at great length on the show. But they've got misgendering laws over in the UK now, where if you call somebody by the wrong pronoun, they throw you in jail. And she's now daring the authorities to come get her. And you know what? I got to be honest with you, man. Okay? She's, you know, we talk about heroic. This matters. And the reason it matters, and understand that it absolutely does matter, is if someone who is a billionaire, who is the most successful author of our lifetime, if her speech rights aren't free, then you and me don't have a chance. And she recognizes the slippery slope society is on when it comes to forced compliance with language. That's the end of your First Amendment rights. They're literally changing the laws. And you have to say whatever the hell they want you to say. That's not freedom, man. Okay, and she gets it. But you understand, you know who else gets that most people don't support this? The White House. That's why on the regular Twitter account, English-speaking Twitter account, whatever you want to characterize it as, to be clear, English is not going to be the regular language in this country the way the border is going. And that's not me fear-mongering. That's me acknowledging that we've let in 10 million people, which is larger than the population of most states in this country. So understand this. Okay, the White House goes out and issues a trans proclamation under Joe Biden's name in one account, doesn't do it in the other because they know it's only popular in their mind anyway on the one account, which still isn't popular because Catholics are revolted by this. This is their high holy day. And they're actually using it to celebrate something that contradicts the teachings of the Holy Bible. Yes, people are going to be upset.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
And if you don't believe me, ask Brian. He's out in Clarion, Pennsylvania. Brian!
Hey, Jimmy. How did your Transparency Day go?
Nobody hid eggs. They only hid their penises.
Can oh, I my say God. That?
Anyway.
Listen, Bob and I are so disgusted at this whole issue that we can hardly speak about it amongst ourselves. What they did is sacrilege. They insulted billions of Christians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of your listeners know, Bob and I are gay, we're married. But what you might not know is that we're Republican and we're Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I just heard some gasps because I'm sure there's people out there saying, what?
No.
This Catholic guy who's gay, what right does he have to complain? The whatever sins the church says I have are between me and the Lord. And in order to help people get over that so they can look at this issue, don't worry. Judgment Day, it'll all be taken care of. Mm-hmm. But the problem here is gender dysphoria is a mental illness. It is not part of the gay community, never was, never will be, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And what the left is trying to do is subsume the gay community back into the realm of mental illness. This is what we as activists dealt with for decades to come out of it. And what's atrocious, Jimmy, is the medical establishment is experimenting on mentally ill people who actually need help.
Yep.
And people who are prone to mental illness. And you know what this is a reflection of? What Dr. Mengele did at Auschwitz. What people need to know is that in Nazi Germany, medical experimentation started in the mentally ill community as early as 1932. And they introduced it into the society, which it became accepted generally.
Mm-hmm.
And this led directly to the Holocaust. And what the media needs to do is my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Is to separate, Jimmy, the notion of mental illness, gender dysphoria, with gay community social and civil rights. They're two different issues.
Yeah,
and
but
they
one
don't
thing,
have anything to do with each other.
Well, I can agree with you there, but I don't actually And I get that you're trying to make a historical comparison to the Holocaust, but I don't think they're trying to wipe people out in this instance. But I do think they're unequivocally experimenting on people, okay? Because you're hearing all of these stories that they're trying to suppress of the detransitioners who feel like they were authorized a drug and a surgery.
It's the social aspect of turning society against gay community again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this is what I think they're trying to do. Just my opinion, it differs from yours, but I respect the passion on this greatly. What I wanted to say is I think the reason they're trying to group every group together, okay, it was LGB, and that turned into TQIA plus dollar sign subtraction mark smiley face or whatever we're up to now. It's a lot of letters. It's because they're trying to keep that as a liberal monolith. And if they link your struggle to their struggle or whatever we characterize their experience as, then they think it grows the tent of voters. This, as you know, is entirely about voters. Yeah.
The gay community is turning more and more conservative, and the alphabet soup started in the 80s with the AIDS epidemic because lots of people were getting AIDS, and we thought, you know what, let's bring everybody under the tent so we can get attention. But it doesn't separate the fact that gender dysphoria is a mental illness and it needs to be addressed medically or psychologically, not socially.
Okay, fair. But I think what Biden is doing on this Twitter account or whoever the heck's running the account is doing is they're trying to get points with the woke left by tweeting Trans Day of Visibility.
Yeah.
And they're obviously hiding that from the Latino community who doesn't support it. And it's fascinating to see how brazenly transparent they are, you know, when it comes to this sort of thing. By the way,
you're a very handsome man. Stop telling your audience that you're not.
No, listen.
Don't forget, the invitation is open for when you go back to Ohio to stop by. Well, Brian, hors d'oeuvres
I have a gig. I have a gig coming up in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. It's probably too far from you, but we're going to work this out.
Yeah.
And at some point,
east of us. So.
Yeah. Well, whatchamacallit. At some point, me, you, and Bob will get together. We owe this to the American people. And thank you for the call.
Thank you so much for talking about this issue. We love you. We love your show. And please keep this on the forefront because they're trying to turn Americans against the gay community.
We won't let it happen.
Trying to do.
We won't let it happen. That's that, Brian.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
The critics have spoken.
I really appreciate fine art.
You do?
Yes.
And this isn't it.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. It's a busy Tuesday on the show. There's a lot going on. Calls are happening. Guests are coming by. Charles McBee's going to be here. Because James Carville has said the quiet part out loud, as they like to say in media, the Democrats hemorrhaging support with the black community.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
If anybody understands the black community, it's Charles McBee. Okay, you watch him all the time on Fox News Saturday night. But he, of course, wrote for Charlemagne. Charlemagne, famously the show where Hillary Clinton claimed she carried hot sauce in her purse.
Hot sauce?
Really?
Yes.
Well, apparently it's time for Biden to get back on Charlemagne and try to win back black support. Hopefully he has more tack than he did last time.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. We are back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America. We're going to be talking to Charles McBee, superstar comedian, regular on my TV show. You hear him quite a bit on this show as well. And he is going to have a grown-up talk with us about the minority vote, specifically the fact that it is fleeing Joe Biden.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
These words come not from me. This isn't some audacious claim from a Fox News right-wing provocateur. No, they come from Democratic strategist James Carville, who has been making the rounds on all of the cable news shows, you know, rubbing elbows with members of the big mainstream media.
The media is a bunch of losers.
A lot of people feel that way, not just my son Lincoln. But agree or disagree, you are always welcome in this audio safe space for cool people. 888-788-9910. That is the phone number to be a part of a show where you can, in fact, You be all you can be. Remember the old Army slogan, be all you can be? I mean, we're not doing that now. Now the Army is just, you know, identify as whatever you want to be. Identify, you know, the battlefield's considered like a safe space. We're going to have solar-powered tanks and coexist bumper stickers on them pretty soon. It's a wild time in America.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't know, but you're all welcome here, regardless of how you identify. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, libertarian, independent, just don't be a... There it is, as we roll on into hour number two. So the big problem the White House is having, and I'm going to get to your calls on this as well, but the big problem the White House is having right now, a lot of it relates to identity politics, and that they are prioritizing things that are not considered deliverables to the people with the identities, the actual physical and ethnic identities that have traditionally won elections for the Democratic Party, meaning blacks and Latinos have traditionally voted overwhelmingly in favor of the Democrats. The Democrats went from being the party of the Ku Klux Klan to what if instead of denying these people the right to vote during the Jim Crow South, we suddenly appealed to people and got them to vote for us? It's probably easier to buy votes through entitlement programs than it is to continue to try and suppress a vote where the country clearly doesn't agree with our racist, divisive doctrine. So the Democrats went from, you know, black people, you shouldn't be allowed to vote because you're inferior. That's what the Jim Crow Dixiecrats were saying. To now they're saying, black people, you have to vote for us because we're the only ones that won't make you get a voter ID because you're not smart enough to get one. That was Joe Biden's claim, that it was Jim Crow on steroids to ask black Americans to try to get a government ID the way everyone else does.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
I mean, you talk about the soft bigotry of low expectations. That's actually pretty hard bigotry. But the Democrats have tried and succeeded, you know, for quite a bit of time at turning out the black vote in their favor. Now, did they ever do anything to improve the quality of life for the black community?
The answer would be no. The
answer would be no. I mean, when you look at the riots in the summer of 2020, every single Democratic leader said, hey, back off. Don't judge this. A riot is the language of the unheard. Martin Luther King Jr. said that, don't you know? I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. also said he wants to live in a world where we judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. But are the Democrats playing by those rules?
The answer would be no. The
answer would be no. Now your skin color determines your entire net worth to society. If you're white, you are some type of an oppressor. If you are a darker skinned person, you are some type of a victim. Now, statistics don't bore that out. It's wildly intellectually lazy, but it's a playbook they've been running to some effect for quite some time. The MMO for the past few decades in the Democratic Party, best summed up by my son Lincoln.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Totally. Vote for me or you're a racist. Do what we say or you're a racist. The problem is, while they were weaponizing that approach to politics, the things that actually affect people of these protected races have gone downhill under the Democrats' watch.
That is correct.
Okay, understand. When you look at the country right now, okay, inflation is crushing the inner cities, failing schools that will never improve if the Democrats have their way because they are a wholly owned subsidiary of the teachers' union. Okay, failing city schools disproportionately do affect members of minority communities. Okay, you know who the open border screws the hardest? Members of the minority community. Okay, the open border is the biggest threat to the middle class we know right now because they represent cheap labor. Okay, then there's also the side effects of the record levels of fentanyl that are poisoning people to death in this country, the crime, some of which is migrant crime. The woke bail reforms in inner cities that are letting out violent recidivist felons day in and day out. Nobody goes to jail anymore. Think about that. When you were growing up, you played two games, cops and robbers, cowboys and Elizabeth Warrens. Okay, but when you played cops and robbers, it was always assumed the cops were the good guys, robbers were the bad guys. Nowadays, if you started a game of cops and robbers, the Democrats would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's not rush to judgment here and give the cops the benefit of the doubt. You know, a lot of these criminals are good guys. You don't understand.
That's stupid.
Use your common sense.
Straight up. Stupid. Police doing the most important and necessary job in society. You don't hear that out of a Democrat. But if you're a person who puts on a uniform, this is me saying to you and the whole country, okay, thank you. You guys matter. You're the varsity. You're the first team offense. You're the offensive line of society, to put it more succinctly. Okay, the rest of us can't make plays if we don't have you out there blocking, okay? You're doing the most important job on the football team. So thank you. Okay, but understand, in the Democrat worldview, having more empathy for the criminal was a way to get votes in the summer of 2020. No, light the cities on fire. A riot is the language of the unheard. That was the Martin Luther King quote, as I said earlier. But the one point they never went back and revisited was why none of these people felt unheard. After all, they had been led by Democrats for the past 50 years.
That's true. That is true.
That's the issue. When you look at everywhere, they rioted. Oh, the riot is the language of the unheard. They said in Democratic-run Minneapolis for the past 50 years. Oh, the riot is the language of the unheard, they said in Democrat-run Chicago for the last 50 years. This goes on to Kenosha, Wisconsin, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Baltimore, Maryland, Los Angeles, California, Detroit, Michigan. Everywhere there was a riot, they all had one thing in common. The people who were speaking the language of the unheard had all been led by Democrats for 50 straight years.
You're absolutely right.
So when they start getting into identity politics, which is like, you know, vote for us because the other folks hate trans people. Vote for us, guys, something about skin color. Okay, the average person in this country, and it's so insulting and it's so infantilizing. The average member of the minority community thinks enough of themselves to know their skin color isn't determining their contribution to society. We are so far past race as a country, okay, because we are a fully integrated society. Racism is a byproduct of ignorance, and it was able to exist for a long time because people who didn't integrate with other cultures feared and hated things they didn't understand. But once we all integrated, and we are so far past the point of a fully integrated society, in every aspect of entertainment, in every aspect of schooling and commerce and shopping and dining and singing and dancing and traveling and vacationing, and yes, even elected officials, we are a fully integrated society. And we all fully understand that we all have the same primal needs. The oversimplification, we all want to get paid, we all want to get laid.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Sorry, that's a little provocative, but if you wanted me to expand upon that, I would tell you, yes, we want to make money. We want to be safe. We want to learn. We want to travel. We want to protect our families. We want to eat good food. We want to watch good movies. We want to laugh at funny comedians. And yes, we want to check out attractive members of the opposite sex.
Hubba, hubba.
Now, to be clear, there are some people who are attracted to members of the same sex, and that's fine too. Who the hell cares? It's 2024. The answer? Nobody. Nobody cares about your identity in 2024 except Democrats who are desperate for votes, so are trying to divide us over the lines of identity.
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
But this is why James Carville flat out said it doesn't work with minorities anymore. Clip 6.
It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, particularly black, younger blacks, younger Latinos, or whatever, but whatever, younger, I don't know, like, younger people of color, particularly males, we're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves. They'll take time to understand their lives. They think that all politics is just a bunch of bull. People arguing back and forth. Here I am, I'm 26 years old, just given interest rates, insurance costs, everything that's going on in my life. I don't think I'll ever own a house. Living with my parents, I just think the whole thing is just full of.
So that's James Carville, and he's telling you the truth. Young black voters look at the world the same way young white voters do, or the young Latino voters, young Asian voters, young Muslim voters. Hey, the interest rates are high. Stuff's really expensive. I don't know if I can ever own a house in this world. Okay, that is not a mindset specific to any individual race. That's every single race.
Bingo, man, bingo.
So when you start to target people as if they have particular needs, It's like you're almost expressing the very ignorance, okay, that we attempted to cancel out of society by ending racism. And that's the biggest challenge facing the Democrats right now, is the old playbook. It's not working anymore. And when you go back to this well repeatedly, people start to resent you for playing the card because they see through the grift. Okay, and believe me, it's a grift, man. Nobody, and I mean nobody, okay, in this day and age is out to get you because of your race. They're not even out to get you because of your gender or how you identify. We're living in a world now where if somebody doesn't like you, it's probably because you might not be that likable. It's just like, am I saying racism doesn't exist? No. But does it exist in mainstream America? Like, is it tolerable anywhere in polite society? No. There's not a job you can work, okay? You could be a cashier at a gas station, okay? If you say something heinously racist in public, they're going to dox you, contact your employer. You will be fired for sport on social media within 24 hours. We've seen it done 1,000 times because we as a society don't tolerate racism. They're trying to tell you, oh, slavery and institutional, and again, not a good thing, not something I support. I don't think it's good that, you know, less than 2% of Americans owned slaves back in the 1800s. I don't think it's good that 2% of us did that. But let it be clear that the entire society fought a war to end it, in which over 500,000 people died to end slavery. Our values said it was worth dying to end. Brothers killed brothers with the bayonet on a musket to end slavery. We were that vehemently against this idea of inequality. Yet we're sitting here all these years later pretending America is somehow a Jim Crow South because it's a viable vote-getting strategy, but it's not reflective of the truth in any way, shape, or form. And most people living in this America see through the grift. They have friends of every race known to man. You should see Lincoln's school birthday parties. Okay, when Lincoln has his friends over for his birthday parties, Lincoln is 15 now. Okay, I've had, you know, thinking back to school age, maybe preschool was his first friend party. So let's say that goes back 11 years. I've had 11 years of a United Nations in my living room. Kids from every ethnicity you could dream of, because he goes to school in a fully integrated society. And kids don't grow up looking at race. They're reminded of race when we preside over their every move by telling them that how they feel about their classmates must be marinated in some type of preconceived racial notion that's baked into their brains without them even realizing it. That's what they're trying to say in this day and age.
Stop lying to us.
They can't stop lying because it became addictive as a means of getting votes. The problem is the old playbook isn't working anymore, so they're starting to get really desperate with the racial division that they're spreading between now and election day.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
You're listening to the most addictive show on the radio.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Charles McBee is coming up. His opening act on the line in Jefferson, Georgia. Michael, back on the show. Michael!
Hey, Jimmy. Shout out to Brian. Love that guy. He is so spot on.
Hell, Brian, hey. Bob. Before you go, I know you have analysis, and I like Brian, and Brian gets rave reviews. I'm not even kidding. And I have people texting me who listen to the show like, oh, Brian's great. But Brian and his husband, Bob, they're in Clarion, Pennsylvania. Now, you've driven Route 80 a bit yourself, have you not?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Okay, what am I getting myself into if I stop off for wine and cheese with a gay couple in Clarion, Pennsylvania? Are they going to make a jacket out of my skin? That's the question.
I would totally do that. Oh, my gosh, you should do that and record it for Fox Nation.
Oh,
there
I
you
love
go.
It. I love it. All right, we'll call the show What's Left of Jimmy. All right, great.
We all know that Biden has nothing to do with any of these Twitter accounts. He can't even answer the phonograph. So it's somebody else doing all this. So they post the proclamation on Easter, start getting strong blowback, and then they say, no, we didn't post that. How big are those kahunas? They know the Twitter trolls and the activists masquerading as journalists will never call them out and totally give them cover. It's like a Monty Python skit. You did it. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. It's just so ridiculous, man. You know?
That's funny. But that's what it is. That's what it is. So, yeah, he's probably not in charge. And the whole analysis, though, that the backlash got them to be like, oh, hell, we're not sharing this with the Latino community. They were never gonna, because they know it's not popular. It's like the thing where he can't call the family of the cop who got shot last week because he knows his party hates cops and that it looks bad. They're like, what do you mean you're consoling a cop? So it's so shameless.
You're right. That would acknowledge their failure to this country and the police in this country. You're absolutely right.
Yep. And so
spot on, buddy.
And it's no different with Israel. Like, they're continuing to begrudgingly fund Israel because that's what we've always done as a nation. But he doesn't like talking about it in public. He's like, oh, we need a ceasefire because he knows the party doesn't support Israel. It's crazy, man. But everyone calling you a racist or an anti-Semite, they're the anti-Semites, man. You get it. Anyway, I'll tell Brian and Bob you're coming by for wine and cheese. I'm out of here.
All right.
See you, Michael.
I need an invitation. Let's go.
I'm on it. There you go. Look at me. Fox Across America. We're bringing people together. That's what we do on this show. And it is funny that callers weigh in on callers. People text me about callers. I had somebody asked me yesterday if Michael was like a comedian. I mean, he could be a comedian because he's funny, but no, I just put him on because he's, you know, one of the few people that has more looser screws than I do. I mean, I'm nuts. Like, this is not a movement that says, like, we're perfect and we know better. This is a movement that says we're having a damn good time, okay? And we're in on the joke that if you live in this country, you're doing okay. So stop screwing it up and enjoy the party. That's who we are. We're at the greatest party in the world. And we're all breaking the stereo, fighting over who gets to control the music. How about you just shut up and dance? You dig? There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. You may recognize this next guest from a up-and-coming TV show called Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. No big deal. It's just the number one show in its time slot. I mean, come on. It's not a big deal, right? He's also become a bit of a viral Instagram attraction, and he's probably on TikTok getting his data stolen from the Chinese Communist Party as well. Charles McBee is here to confirm nor deny those suspicions. Yo!
Listen, I've done way worse things that I should be way more ashamed of. So my TikTok dances, you leave that to me.
Wait, are there actual TikTok dances? I know you do your comedy sketches, which are great, but are we at the point where you're dancing on TikTok?
No, we haven't reached that level of desperation yet. But don't think that we're not close.
No, I'm telling you, things are going to get good. You're on my show. The show's doing well. Don't give up, Charles. Dancing is giving up. Okay, listen, there's a fine line between, you know, trending well on social media and being Rich Aronovich. And nobody listening got that reference, but we have a buddy who, like, he's like a dancer. Is he not like an Instagram dancer at this point?
I guess
some
that
type,
would,
yeah.
Yeah, that would be a thing.
But it's a slippery slope. Like in the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, when the guy starts wearing gold chains, they never explain why it's a problem. They just explain that if you're doing too much of it, things don't end well. And it's like you could remake I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker and be like, he started dancing on Instagram. And they'd be like, oh, word? That's not good. It's not good. So Charles McBee is here. His feet are nailed to the floor. They're glued to the floor, if you will. The thing we were talking about before you came on, and this is interesting, man. And, you know, we consider you apolitical. That's why I like to hear your take on this. James Carville is quoted, you know, he's the strategist who helped the Clintons get into the White House once. almost a second time in Hillary's case. And he is quoted as saying today that it's horrifying the Democrat voters amongst young black males. He says they're not shedding, they're leaving in droves. And it doesn't take time to understand why. They say young black men think politics are a bunch of bull S, which I think you would agree. And he says to put himself in the mindset of a 26-year-old black man, which is interesting when you consider what James Carville looks like, which was a 209-year-old white woman. But if you can put yourself in the headspace that James Carville is a 26-year-old black man, he says, just look at interest rates, look at insurance costs, everything that's going on in my life. I don't think I'll ever own a house. And I just think this is all a bunch of BS. And Carville says that's how black men see the world, which is the way everyone sees the world. Am I right?
Well, listen, Carville's come a long way from hosting a show on HBO back in the day. Tales from the Crypt, you remember.
Good for you.
No, I mean, yeah, but it's not anything. This isn't anything new. This is something that is now going mainstream, the fact that, you know, whether young black men or black men in general are leaving the Democratic Party in droves. But this is something that's been talked about in barbershops for years now. So now it's just kind of gone mainstream, if you will.
Yeah, well, listen, Ice Cube, Charles Barkley, those guys have a lot of sway. Even, you know, listen, even your man Charlemagne, who said if Biden wanted to do the country a favor, if he wanted to give the country a Valentine's Day gift, he'd step down. It's not exactly a reelection endorsement, but it's because, and this is what I think, and I don't want to speak for you or certainly your community, because I don't think you speak for your community as a black guy who listens to Coldplay, as you like to say.
Hey, watch it now.
It's so funny, though, to get to use your own jokes as your intro on my show. But at least I credit you, because I used to go on shows on cable news where they would just, like, if I send in talking points, that's why I don't ask people for talking points. I just want a spontaneous conversation, because if you send in talking points to a cable news show, they ask you your joke in the form of a question. And right. Now you don't have an answer. That's funny because they gave away the funny part. Bastards.
And it's just like, I don't know what you want me to go from here.
So, Henny Youngman, take your wife, please. He's like, wait, what? So, Rodney, to be clear, you don't get no respect. Is that the way we see it?
Tell me more.
Bernie Mac, so you don't understand? Is that what it is? You don't understand. So, anyway, Charles McPhee is on the line. But the point is, I think people are, you know, the whole approach to this for the last 10 years has been vote for us because the other guys are racist. And I don't think the black community suddenly believes there is no racism in society. I know we're aware that it exists on some level. I just think the priorities of, you know, paying bills and, you know, getting schools to improve and keeping, you know, community safe are probably a bigger priority than things people are saying on Twitter that might sound racist. Is that kind of a fair way to sum it up?
Maybe. But I think the bigger thing is that black people at this point, particularly black men, feel like there's racism across the board, so they're not just labeling it to one side, which is what generations before used to do. Mm-hmm. Democrats are our saviors, Republicans are, you know, Klansmen, right? Like that's been
which is odd because the Democrats legitimately ran the Klan. Like the Dixiecrats of the Jim Crow South were the Klan, and yes, they embraced the black community ultimately as a voting bloc. But no, you're right. You're right to say there were generations who came after that did say that. Right? That was the mindset. Republicans are racist. Democrats are here to save us, and people kind of probably bought into that for 50 or 60 years, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, I mean, during, you know, the King era and civil rights and then, you know, working with LBJ and et cetera, you know, there was a time where it felt like, I mean, I wasn't around back then, but it was a time where it felt like Democrats were more in line, you know, the whole JFK era, you know, RFK, where Democrats were more aligned with, you know, black people's freedoms and getting their rights. However, over the years, particularly now, black people really, it's not so much that they're running to Republicans. They're ticked off across the board. They don't necessarily, yeah, some are running to the Republican Party, but a lot are just opting out right now. And so which in itself, if the voting bloc was primarily for Democrats, then ultimately opting out hurts Democrats more than it does so Republicans. So it could be three black people trickling over to the Republican side. It's still a win if more people are opting out altogether.
Yeah, and I think that's the bigger problem. Charles McBee on the line. a mainstay on Fox News Saturday night, although yet to win a yellow jacket. You've been jobbed. You've been jobbed by white women. Have you noticed that?
You know what? For some reason, it feels like a win. I don't know why.
That's funny. Well, this week was so incredibly funny that the, you know, the people who would be in charge of editing a show like the one we do, we actually made them quit in the A block. And they left things in, Derek, because there was just no saving it. There was just none. So they just gave up and they were like, I hope we don't get fired. And that's the official.
That's the strategy. That's the strategy. If the whole show is off the rails,
yeah,
then they have to leave it all in.
That's the truth, because this is an old stand-up trick, okay? If you have a joke that some people deem offensive, the way you protect yourself is by telling one that's more offensive. Because they get over the other one. You know, yeah. the late great Mike DiStefano used to be like, my friend had a drinking problem, but then he got a crack problem. And now nobody talks about the drinking problem anymore. that's pretty much what we're doing on our show. We show up with a drinking problem. By the C block, it's a crack problem, and no one gives us a hard time for the booze anymore.
There you go.
But fascinating stuff. And then the only other thing I would add to all of this analysis, because basically where it's come from is now it's coming from, like, major media figures. Like, even Meek Mill chimed in to say, like, we're voting Trump, which I don't know that everybody is. I just think people feel a little more confidently stepping out on the Democratic Party than they did because the social pressure campaign was so intense. But what they forgot about the social pressure campaign is people assumed it would come with some sort of deliverable. And this is you. You are the one who said on my show, I believe the verbatim quote is, the Democrats show up to the fish fry every 4 years and shuck and jive, but then they don't actually leave us with anything besides the votes.
Right.
And that's kind of, I guess, people are seeing through it. Because that's what Barkley said. Barkley's like, I've been voting Democrat my whole life. I just thought things were going to improve. Nothing's improving. So wouldn't a smart play, and this is the only question, wouldn't the smart play at this point just be for the Democrats to actually focus on improving things than calling everyone a racist?
Yeah, that you would think.
Uh-huh.
But that would actually take some actual work and progress. Who wants that?
No, this is one thing, man. We are so lazy. Like, unless there's an app, no one's doing anything. Like, we've been saying on this show, you and me, for 5 years now, there's never going to be a civil war unless someone creates an app.
Exactly.
If you can't do it on your phone, it's like,
can't fight this battle from my toilet seat, then I want no part of it.
No one is doing it. That's like, I say that all the time, man. And everyone's like, we're so divided. I'm like, we're divided on social media because you can do it, you know, while you're like anywhere. As you just said, you're on the toilet. That's what's so dumb about fighting with social media. I think every post, right? You can geotag where you are, like you can check in from Disney World, wherever the hell you happen to be. But I think every political post should specifically have to say where you are to highlight the absurdity of what we're all doing with our time. Because, like, you're literally fighting with someone about the election who's, like, at their kid's dance recital. You're online at the bank. Should either of you be having a conversation with someone who's not even in the same room?
Right.
And someone you don't know. It's like we're fighting with strangers. So you're road raging with someone who's on a different highway than you. In what world does that make sense?
Whose profile is an egg?
You don't even know what they look like. They don't even have a picture. Well, the thing about the egg guy, though, is the egg guy will always criticize the way you look on TV. Isn't that the best?
That's the best.
You're ugly, said the guy whose picture is a cartoon drawing. Sorry, Fabio. Oh, McBee. You still got it, man. I'll check in soon. We got a lot of TV to do.
All right, man.
You're the best, buddy. Take care. The great Charles McBee. You know him. You love him from Fox News Saturday night.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
You stop it. McBee spits the truth. And he is, just so you understand, McBee is not a Trump voter. Like, he doesn't come on the show and be like, I'm Republican now. He's, you know, pretty politically agnostic, meaning he's what a comedian is supposed to be. You know, you've probably heard this clip of Johnny Carson in the past. If you grew up as a comedian who wanted to make people laugh for a living, okay, that is always going to trump, for lack of a better word, any type of political ideology. If you've ever heard the famous interview where Johnny Carson was asked about not taking on serious subject matter, okay, his testimony on this should be gospel to anybody who fancies themselves a true entertainer.
Do you get sensitive about the fact that people say he'll never take a serious controversy?
Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that?
But you're not...
Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And, you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
Think about what he just said, though. You start to get that self-important feeling where you think what you say has meaning. You're a clown. But the next thing you know, you're Jimmy Kimmel saying, let the unvaccinated die.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
I mean, think about that. And he gets a laugh for that. But understand, that's a guy who's supposed to be a comedian. A comedian is not supposed to be saying, let these people die because they disagree with my ideology, which, by the way, is incorrect. The vaccine, okay, did not block the spread of COVID. That was the sale. You've got to get the job. You've got to get the jab or you'll kill other people. Okay, we were told by the physical head of the CDC that vaccinated people don't carry the virus.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real world data.
Except one thing, none of that was true. Yet Jimmy Kimmel took his late night comedy show and said, yeah, it's supposed to start letting these people die if they're unvaccinated. There's a shortage of hospital beds. Other prominent members of the entertainment community said we should start shaming them.
Not getting vaccines. It's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F*** them. F*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No, screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
Now, that last one was not a comedian. That was a homeless woman on the subway named Keith Olbermann. But the point is, okay, when you start to take comedy, okay, I offer you plenty of analysis and takes on this show. It's a radio talk show. But believe me, I will live and die before you see me turn my TV show, my actual childhood dream, into a political weapon. It's a comedy show. Okay? You know what we did last week? I mean, we're playing like steakhouse or gay bar. We ran a prank called Snakes in a Cab. Okay? I have my wife on the show this week. It's absurd. Like, it's an absolute straight-up hang out of old-school traditional TV where you tune into comedy to laugh. And I'm making that point because Charles McBee, who's a regular on that show and is a pretty regular guest on this show, comes on as a member of the black community who isn't here to stump Republican. He's just telling you what is actually happening in the black community. They were duped into thinking we were supposed to vote Democrat because the Democrats are the ones that care about our community.
Wrong.
Okay, the Democrats have screwed the black community six ways till Sunday. Okay, I mean, in every way you can think, they're crushing inner city schools right now. They don't want to force schools to improve because the teachers union is the biggest donor to the Democratic Party. Okay, what's the biggest issue facing inner city schools? Overcrowding. And the Democrats have just let 10 million more people into the country, many of whom have brought kids into the classroom that will overcrowd those inner city schools even more.
But buenos dias.
Which decreases the quality of education. Any school teacher will tell you that, especially when you're importing kids that don't speak English. Okay, I wish these kids no ill will. I want what's best for them. Okay, but coming here illegally does not provide what's best for them, and it only hurts us, the legal taxpaying citizen. Then you talk about crime, and you talk about the fentanyl. You talk about migrant crime. You talk about the reallocating of resources. And you realize that the people who purport to care the most about the black community, meaning the Democrats, are the ones that are screwing them the hardest.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
Tackling issues of the day in an easy way.
He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America. Tommy Lahren is coming on in the next hour. The host of Tommy Lahren is Fearless on Outkick. She likes to chit-chat about the politics, about the goings-on in the country. And we're going to get into some wild spending allocations in Washington, D.C., none of which, not a single solitary dollar of which, prioritizes you and me here in this country.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
It really is like this bonkers world where like politicians used to pretend to care. You know what I mean? They're like, you know, they'd say that they cared about you and not the other. And don't worry. They don't even do that anymore. They're like, no, here's $90 billion for Ukraine. You guys can go start an OnlyFans, sell some pictures of your feet. I don't know what to tell you.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Tommy Lahren is coming by in this hour. She is all worked up about...
You've got to get mad!
No, we'll keep the mood light. But the things we tell you might work you up a little bit, because we've got a $1.2 trillion spending package that just went through Congress. Here's a news flash. It includes $380 million in border security. There you go. Yay! Unfortunately, of that $380 million, not a dollar of it goes towards America's borders. So dig this. Wow, man, this is nuts. And again, we'll try to keep the mood light. But the big $1.2 trillion spending bill that was rammed through in the middle of the night without anybody reading it.
This is politics as usual.
Do you guys understand, for all the posturing that's going on social media, you know, everybody in Congress wants to be an Instagram influencer in this day and age. Congress is kind of their side hustle. So they all get on social media and talk tough. Democrats spend too much money. Oh, the establishment, blah, 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 blah. The Republicans control the power of the purse in Congress. The Republicans. The Republican Party oversees the money we spend in Congress. So at the end of the day, when you green light a did you hear that part? Did you hear any of that part? Did you even try to comprehend?
Do you speak any English?
The words were not coming out. That was a full Biden right there.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
That's me. Anyway, when $1.2 trillion goes through Congress, okay, and the House of Representatives gavels in a bill, okay, and sends it over to the Senate, okay, that can only happen if the Republicans are cool with it. So as much as people in conservative talk radio like to get you all mad at the Democrats all day, do you know who screwed you this time around? Are you ready for it? The Republicans.
Correctamundo.
The Republicans can yell and scream that Biden isn't helping secure the border, and he's not. And Biden signed 91 executive orders undoing every one of Trump's border policies. That is true. The blame for the border crisis unequivocally lies at the feet of Joe Biden and whoever held his pudding cup hostage until he signed those executive orders. That's reality. But a $1.2 trillion spending bill was authorized by the House of Representatives that the Republican Party controls.
That's not right.
And do you understand traditional politicians do traditional politician things? So they get on TV and they scream and yell about the Democrats spending money. The Republicans now have the power of the purse in Congress. And the Republicans have used that power of the purse to change the Speaker of the House two or three times. Might happen again to Mike Johnson this weekend. I doubt it. It seems more theatric than anything. But when you look at the way the spending is being allocated in this country, the priorities have not improved by giving Republicans control of the House. So everybody who just gets on talk radio every night and yells and screams at you about Democrats is aiding and abetting the pilfering of the taxpayer dollar. Because in not holding Republicans accountable to, and that's the bigger problem, It's like we just want to win elections because we want to beat the other side more than anything in the world. But do you understand when that is the value, there's no way for any of us to get ahead? Because in the long run, politicians get to do what they've been doing forever, which is screwing every single one of us. So the Republicans ultimately authorized this package. Yes, they did. You can tell me Biden signed it into law, but it starts with the Republicans. Okay? And the reality is, this is a $380 million package that's to remain available in September of 2025 to reimburse Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman for enhanced border security. What all of those countries have in common, none of them is the United States of America.
You are correct, sir.
So you're getting screwed by both parties. Okay, this is coming, and I'm not making this up. This one blew my mind, so I had to include it in the show today. Oakland County, Michigan Sheriff, Oakland County. Guy's name is Michael Bouchard. Says that well-trained ninjas from Chile are now burglarizing houses in that area.
What the hell did you just say?
If that doesn't sound made up. Well-trained ninjas now exploiting the border to burglarize houses. Here it is. I'm not making this up. I don't say this stuff unless I have proof. Here it is, clip 21.
The Chilean gangs have been hitting us very hard. Cash, jewelry, very high-end purses, that's pretty much the target. They're super well trained when they get here, highly organized. They look like ninjas. They're all masked up, gloves. They each have a backpack with their particular set of tools for their job in the burglary.
I got a bad feeling about this.
They look like ninjas, masked up, gloves. They each have a backpack with a particular set of tools for their job in the burglary. Guys, do you understand? Comes to the border. The border is a you and me problem, man. Whether you like me or don't, whether you like Republicans or Democrats or anything in between, everybody who lives in this country is getting screwed right now. Everybody. I don't do the get mad at one party show. It's lazy. And it's not effective in terms of solving problems that affect all of us. The Republicans screwed you just as hard as the Democrats here. And it's not to say the Republicans don't want to force Biden to, hey, maybe sign those same executive orders that bring back some of the Trump policies. But here's a newsflash. Biden can't do that politically. It would be suicide, so it's not going to happen. Should it happen? Yes. They never should have rescinded policies that had reduced illegal border crossings to an all-time low. But here's a newsflash. They're gone. And if he reinstates them, they are admitting they were wrong, caused the 10 million migrant mass, you know, humanitarian crisis at the border. And they're basically handling Trump the election. I promise you, to traditional politicians, they prefer death to losing this election. They do. I'm not wishing death upon them. I'm just telling you there's no world, and every Republican in Congress knows this, where Biden's going to go sign that executive order. He's not handing Republicans a win. Does Biden want a win in return? Meaning, yes, let's pass legislation so I can pretend I solved the border crisis in an election year and people can say I care. Yes, he wants that. And they should be denying him that, because the bill they tried to sign into law wasn't going to stop the border crisis. It was going to legalize it. It was going to say, hey, we're only letting in 5,000 illegal migrants a day before we shut the door, which is not shutting the door. If you go to the store and it's closed, they don't go, we're closed. Only 5,000 of you can come in and shop. They go, it's closed. You can't come in. Our version of closed is 5,000 people can come in a day, which means we're fine with just about 2 million illegal migrants a year that we know of. That is not shutting the border. Okay, that is legalizing an abuse of our border policies. And when you hear things like ninjas are breaking into houses, it's because other countries around the world understand our border is open. And their crimes and their gangs are coming here to exploit it because we're the richest country in the world. If you're going to be in the robbing business, you don't go to Chile, where their economy is 1/100th the size of ours. You go to America as if you can get in. You got a lot more people to rob. Well, we're moving on. That's every gang in the world right now. That's every home burglary unit. That's every street pickpocket. Do you understand the thing you forget? Because you might be broke. You might be struggling. I get it. I've been there my whole adult life. okay, but we still live in the richest country in the world. So if you're going to go commit crimes, okay, America represents two things. One is money. Two is the fact that nobody goes to jail anymore because of all these woke bail reforms.
Everything woke turns to shit.
So the message we're sending to the world right now is if you come here illegally, you're getting in. If you're coming here to commit crimes, not only are you getting in, but you're committing them against a wealthier country. And third, you're not going to jail. So here's a news flash. You're going to bring the bad people. Okay, that's just the way it's going to go.
That's true. That is true.
So when we talk about the border, it's not me being like, oh, hey, ho, you know, get mad at Democrats because Republicans screwed you too. And what I'm saying in this instance is I get that they're not going to sign Biden's bogus bill in terms of securing the border because it doesn't. I get not doing that. They shouldn't do it. Okay, but at the same time, it looks pretty absurd that we're going to leave our border open while simultaneously spending $380 million on everyone else's freaking border.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Okay, and that legislation includes border funding, staffing, technology. Okay. And all kinds of garbage to enhance, not garbage, but things that would enhance other countries' borders. Okay, so hey, you guys, here's a couple of bucks. Here's some money. Here's a way to make sure you know who's coming in and out of your country. In what world could politicians sign off on this and not lose their jobs? Like in a normal world, this is like resign stuff. You've got politicians in both parties, again, both parties. Don't let those lazy conservative talk show hosts who get you mad for a living, and they all do it, and you know who they are. Okay, it's a scam, man. You're getting scammed by so many angles, and it drives me crazy. Drives me crazy. How could you possibly square? Okay, this is why a guy like RFK has traffic right now, RFK Jr. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I'm saying the reason he has traffic is you understand if Trump gets into office, Trump is only as effective as the people underneath him in Congress. And the people underneath him in Congress have been an embarrassment during Trump's time in office. They have. Understand this. Trump ran, like every Republican before him, dating back to the Tea Party, on repeal and replace Obamacare. That's what he ran on. We're going to build a wall. We're not going to let NATO rip us off. We're not going to let everybody outsource American jobs. Okay, we're not going to decimate our economy in the name of pretending we can control the weather someday. America first. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal campaign strategy.
Freedom!
Okay, and it was phenomenal because nobody else was doing it. Everybody else is flat out running on America sucks, we're the devil, we're white supremacists, let's give money to every country around the world to do penance for all the wrongs we've done. That's pretty much everybody else's view of global politics. We're the worst. And the elites around the world have gotten us to buy into that in corporate America and at an academic level. Not because they mean it. They know they're worse than us. You tell me in countries where they stone women to death for reading, they really believe we're the bad guys. In countries where they're lighting gay and transgender people on fire and throwing them off buildings, do they really believe we're the bad guys? No. But they love playing along with that mantra because it gets us to commit self-inflicted gunshots against our own well-being.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
But some of those stupid people are Republicans. Okay, Republicans were mad that we won't secure our border, just authorize $380 million for other people's borders. The very thing they get mad at Biden for doing, the Republicans did. Okay, and yes, the Democrats played along. But when you think about parties, when you think about Trump's ability to govern effectively, okay, I'm not saying he's not a better president than Biden, but when Trump ran on repeal and replace Obamacare, which, again, destroyed health care premiums for all of us.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
Destroyed it. The Affordable Care Act has driven up your premiums 300%. Is that good, a health care bill?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. It's just because they gave it free to some people and forced everybody else to buy it at an accelerated rate doesn't mean it's a good health care bill. It's a garbage healthcare bill.
I think he's got a point.
But stick with me. Trump ran on repeal and replace Obamacare. But when he got into office, he made that the first domestic policy move he pursued. The first thing he wanted to do was a repeal and replace of Obamacare. But what did he find out in that very first spring in office? That every single Republican that ran for election and ultimately re-election on repeal and replace Obamacare had never devised a plan.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And then what ultimately happened? Okay, when they put forth a plan that really did look like an extension of Obamacare, maybe like a middle ground between that and what Mitt Romney had done as governor of Massachusetts, one vote determined the sink or swim of the actual bill, and it was sunk by John McCain, somebody who cast the last vote to deny Trump the legislative win and definitely did so as a form of payback because Trump, you know, famously slandered a POW, a Vietnam POW, on the world stage when he was running for president. That's one of the liabilities of Trump's unforced errors and the fact that he throws a lot of wild pitches on the stump. And so the combination of Republicans not having a viable bill, a bill that would make it impossible for somebody like McCain to vote against, that would make it impossible for a few Democrats not to peel off support, instead wound up with a garbage bill that McCain took great delight in sinking. And now something they all ran on is still on the table. Your health care hasn't improved because, like the Democrats, they're just as happy to run on the issue as they are to actually solve it. And if you don't believe me, look at the spending bill. Not that you should, because nobody in Congress did. But everyone's borders around the world got a little more secured tonight, and yours didn't. And you can't square that on the Democrats because the Republicans voted it through.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. You're right.
It's the number one children's show in the country.
He's a lot better at radio than he is being a dad.
Oh, snap.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, heading back to Washington State just when I thought I got out. Isn't that what they say in The Godfather? They start pulling me back in. I mean, all the way in, because I got to go back to Federal Way this Friday night. I will be at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center Friday night, April the 5th. Buy some tickets. Make it up to me. And in the meantime, Pat takes over. He's in Vancouver, Washington State. Yo, Pat.
Hey, Jimmy. How's it going, brother?
It's going, man. I'll be in your state this weekend.
Oh, well, I'll be looking for you then.
Now you're talking.
Hey, look, check this out, Jimmy. Let me tell you something. You know, I'm a longtime conservative Black American. Mm-hmm. I've been voting Republican all my life. But you know what? Something, I just want to circle back to a discussion that you were having a little earlier as it relates to Black Americans and how we've been voting Democrat.
Yep.
And the reason, you know, this, that, you know what? Let me tell you. Back in 60 years ago, mm-hmm. Jimmy, Malcolm X was already saying these things. You're not saying anything new, bro.
No.
I'm telling you. Look, you know, and he gave a speech almost to the day, April 3rd, 1964. He gave a speech called The Ballot or the Bullet.
Yep.
Okay? And in The Ballot or the Bullet, Malcolm X, he talked about how we as Black Americans have been giving our votes to Democrats and how they've been hoodwinking us, and how we go out, that the Democrats invite us in to have a little bit of coffee, and we sit down and, you know, with the, and have that coffee with them, and then they leave out of there with our votes and we get nothing in return. Mm-hmm. I mean, in The Ballot or the Bullet, there was a part of the speech where he said, where he was talking about how Democrats are making Black Americans in the chumps.
Yep.
And just a quote, he says, anytime you throw your weight, because we were throwing our weight behind the Democratic Party pretty heavily, right?
Mm-hmm.
We put
yep.
a lot of those guys, we put Kennedy in the office,
yep.
right? He says, anytime you throw your weight behind a party and that party can't keep the promises they made to you before election time, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race.
Wow, that's hot.
That was Malcolm X, brother.
You're damn right it was. But that's, you know, and sadly, a lot of that continues to go on. But you brought the heat, Pat. If you are in Washington State Friday night, I better find you, man. I want to hear more of this.
Look, listen, I'm telling you.
I'm going to lose you to a commercial break. Just get out there Friday. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, fired up to talk to this next guest. She's the superstar host of Tommy Lahren is Fearless on OutKick and a huge supporter of me and my wardrobe. Tommy Lahren returns to the show. Hello, hello.
Oh, well, it's great to talk to you. I'm just so glad that you and I could have this special discussion 2 days after the holy day that is Trans Visibility Day. I'm sorry it's a little belated celebration, but I'm happy that we could join together to celebrate this occasion.
So did you guys recognize the day accordingly by ignoring it?
Yeah, and again, I know we're going to get into this, but I've just been so fired up about this.
Good.
And I'm so glad that you're the first person I get to talk about it to on the record.
Oh, no, this isn't good. Okay, but I'll take it. I know where this usually heads, but take it away, Tommy.
I got a lot of trolls on social media.
Yep.
So I, like a lot of other conservatives, posted about this Trans Visibility Day proclamation, pretty repulsed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of these, little peanut gallery liberals online are like, oh, it's not because it's Easter. It's because it's always been the 31st ever since 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but it's still Easter. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that Easter trumps the Trans Visibility Day set in 2021. I'm not sure. Maybe we could go back and look at the history books, but I have a feeling that Jesus' resurrection happened before the 2021 Trans Visibility Day proclamation. And if the president had any decency, he would have bumped Trans Visibility Day to April 1st, where it belongs.
Oh, no! Tommy Lahren is online, fired up, rightfully so. I mean, I think a point I would make to that is, and everyone knows this, if you were taking a high holy day of another religion and being like, by the way, you're now sharing it with some calendar reminder we've put on everyone's phone, I do think there would be legitimate, a big pushback if you did this to another religion, don't you think?
Well, I posed the question on Twitter how the Queers for Palestine were celebrating Trans Visibility Day, because there's a lot to unpack there. A lot to unpack.
I'm dying, because did you see the story where the White House Twitter account the Spanish Twitter account didn't issue the same tweet because they know it's probably a liability with that community?
Oh, yeah. No, I saw it and I retweeted that and I thought to myself, it makes sense. It tracks. But I know you and I are going to talk about it. Joe Biden also is denying that he declared Trans Visibility Day. Now, again, plausible deniability because he forgets his name and mm-hmm. his whereabouts. But also, we have it on the record. It's on your Twitter. It's on the White House Twitter. It might not be on the Spanish Twitter.
Uh-huh.
But everywhere else, we're all very well aware that you did declare it, in fact, Trans Visibility Day. There's no dispute about this.
Yes.
It happened. It's real life.
Yeah, well, the White House did it. But let me ask you this. Is there a world where they're just tweeting things without him even having any idea?
A million percent.
Yeah.
A million percent. We all know this. But again, if you're going to hand over your Twitter password
mm-hmm.
to some millennial or Gen Z green hair that's working within your administration, you are still liable for what that person, that them tweets. Sorry, Joe. That's how this works.
You know what's fascinating, though? And I'm laughing. Tommy Lahren is on the line. Is that this is a political liability for them with everybody but woke white people. Because at the end of the day, when you look across the board, for whatever our opinion is of trans things, okay, it's ultimately rich white kids that are demanding new bodies, because nobody else would dare walk up to their parents who might be struggling to pay for groceries and go, and by the way, can you throw some new genitalia into the bag?
Yeah, well, exactly. It is a privilege problem when you're worried about all the they, thems, the pronouns. I mean, I don't care how you identify what you are. If you are that concerned because you made up your own gender and then people don't refer to you by the thing that you made up 2 weeks ago, if you are that concerned about that and that is the top issue on your priority list, you are privileged. And that's just, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you identify as. If you have time to worry about those things, you do have a certain amount of privilege. And I wouldn't even say the word privilege, but the left has made such a deal about
yep.
that word and who has it and who doesn't, that I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there, because it's just the fact of the matter.
No, it's true. You're living in an America where, over 70% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck right now. So, I mean, these are people are struggling right now. The idea that anyone has the luxury of going out and getting a new body, okay, is you are living a life beyond the means of most people. And so much so that you can afford to convince your kids. Because, again, as you and I both know, nobody has a 4-year-old kid that thinks they're trapped in the wrong body unless mommy or daddy has been telling them they've been trapped in the wrong body for 4 years.
Oh, well, it's exactly that. And a lot of the times it's the parents that are putting these ideologies and these fantasies in their kids' head, and they're doing it not behind closed doors. They're doing it proudly on social media, because then they get a twofer. They get to kind of appease their white guilt or whatever it is by having a trans kid, and then they also get to get recognition for their bravery of converting their child on social media. So this is all the narcissism linked back to the parents and really has nothing to do with the kids. In fact, a lot of the kids, even though they're 12, 13, 14 years old, they are being taken advantage of by this whole discussion.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are being used and manipulated as fodder for content. And I feel just as badly for them as I do the rest of us that have to endure this.
Yeah, it's wild. We're talking to Tommy Lahren. We're fired up today. The show is Tommy Lahren is Fearless. I think that's been established over a series of interviews on this show. Let me ask you this, Tommy Lahren. As this election starts to unfold now, should RFK Jr. hire a food taster? Because he said yesterday, quite honestly, I believe, that he considers Biden a bigger threat to democracy than Trump, because Biden's the only president that's ever weaponized the spying agencies against people and forced social media companies to hand over your private data to the government. So is RFK kind of playing crazy games here?
Well, he is, but here's the thing. I know a lot of people say that RFK is going to be more of a spoiler for Biden than he would be for Trump. And I understand that argument because he is far left. But people are forgetting that Democrats who vote reliably Democrat, they're not looking at anything other than the deed beside somebody's name. If it were up to the policies and the positions and the success of people with D's behind their names, there would be a lot of people leaving the Democrat Party and refusing to vote for Democrats and Joe Biden to begin with. Mm-hmm. So the fact that everybody thinks that somehow these Democrats who vote been voting reliably Democrat, despite the consequences, are all of a sudden going to jump on the RFK bandwagon and assure a Trump victory, they haven't been watching Democrats, because Democrats are loyal and, in my opinion, to a fault, but they're loyal and they win elections. So I am worried about RFK pulling votes from Donald Trump, even though I understand it looks like he would pull votes from Biden. I'm not buying that, and it still concerns me.
Wow. No, listen, the metric squares. What's fascinating, though, about the one aspect of this they don't even discuss when it comes to, like, the Democrat claim of democracy is on the ballot, is that they also denied RFK Jr., Marianne Williamson, and Dean Phillips an actual chance to primary Biden in the Democratic Party. Like, people who were running as Democrats, the Democratic Party actually said, no, you're not. There'll be no debates, and we're moving the primary schedule. So they have gone, like, out of their way to deny people their rightful place in the democracy. So just to that point, regardless of who you're peeling votes off from, you would probably agree, though, that the Democrats are actively suppressing people's democratic rights, are they not?
Well, of course they are, but that's the thing. When you make the rules, you get to change the rules, and you get to break the rules because you make the rules. And Republicans are not ever going to be in a position to make the rules or to bend the rules or do anything with the rules if we can't win elections. And so this is the problem that we keep confronting. It's like we complain about what the Democrats do. We talk about how horrible they are for this country. And then when it comes down to it, we don't want to win elections. And that's the problem. We'd rather clutch our pearls and fight with each other than win elections. And look no further than the laundry list of Republicans who are either, resigning early, they're leaving their seats vacant.
Yep.
I mean, just look at them.
Yep.
They're actively saying, like, you know what, I'm a Republican, but I also don't care if this party crash and burns. It's individualistic to a fault. And we're going to keep losing for this reason.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And, when you look at, what the Republican Party has done since taking control of, like, the pocketbook in this country. We only had another garbage $1.2 trillion spending bill because the Republicans with that slim majority said, yeah, okay. So it is both parties that are ultimately screwing us. You're one of the few people, though, that calls that out. Like, I just spent a half hour on that. There's not a lot of people in media doing that. And that's, like, the bigger issue is for all the things we find fault with in the Democratic Party, we actually can't improve anything if the Republican Party doesn't stop functioning like traditional deadbeat politicians.
Well, and it's it's not even so much that. It's just, you know, you have to look at things with some kind of a strategy in mind. Because Republicans, if they don't get one little issue that they wanted, they throw everything away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look no further than the abortion issue. I understand people are very passionate about that issue. But you have to be able to see the forest through the trees and understand that if you cling that tightly to that issue, we will lose elections and you will get nothing that you want. Yeah. But unfortunately, there are too many that are too tightly sealed to that issue that they don't even care if they lose it all, including, you know, pro-life causes. They'd rather just lose it all than budge an inch and understand and read the tea leaves on the issue. So we've just got to be realistic. And unfortunately, we're always the party of logic and reason and statistics, but we don't take our own advice. And we do things from this fairy tale idealistic standpoint, and we keep losing because of it. We've got to get some strategy in play, or we're just going to keep losing.
No, these are all you're hot today, Tommy Lahren. I don't, you took the right drugs.
Well, I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you this, because I spent the weekend in upstate New York. My husband is a AAA baseball coach in Syracuse, New York. And I got to tell you, Syracuse, New York, Trump flags everywhere.
Everywhere.
Republicans everywhere. Not that far from New York City. It's like a different world.
Yep.
But we, you know, oftentimes we don't think that that's even possible if there are Republicans. There are Republicans everywhere in this country. We just can't unite everybody and get out the vote. And so it makes me so frustrated because I know there are so many conservatives in this country and our elected conservatives are letting us down because they're not winning elections.
No.
So we got to do something.
No, I agree. One last question then, since you were in Syracuse, have you guys hit the dinosaur barbecue up there?
I don't even know of that place, but I'm very curious now.
No, we gotta
talk. I'm very curious about the dinosaur barbecue.
No, we're gonna have a talk. All right, I'll send you like an itinerary of things you're supposed to do in Syracuse. There's a solid comedy club, but the food scene is better than the comedy scene. The dinosaur barbecue is really good. And there's a Stella's Diner that's like, next level good. We have a lot of radio affiliates up there that are shaking their heads yes. And believe me, Tommy, if there's anybody you want food recommendations from, it's a guy like me who should probably be wearing Spanx on TV.
But Jimmy, okay, you said barbecue, and you're talking about New York.
Yeah.
You know I live in Nashville, so it's hard for me to believe a little bit.
Now, hold on. You live in Nashville by way of Dakota and California, so take off the straw hat and the overalls for 1 second and just eat the pulled pork, would you, lady?
I will certainly try it, but I have to be a little skeptical. That's like me telling you, you know, the sushi in South Dakota is off the chart.
Touche. Tommy Lahren, thank God you're a country girl. Enjoy the week. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Jimmy. Talk to you soon.
You're the best. The great Tommy Lahren. Barbecue aficionado. Folks, let's be clear. She does have a Nashville residence. But if you've seen Tommy Lahren on TV, okay, you've certainly seen me on TV. Who do you honestly think knows more about barbecue? Someone with my physique, okay, or someone with her physique? I mean, really think about the things they say to me when they see me on TV.
You're killing yourself the way you eat. You're a fat f- look at you.
Whereas Tommy, you know, you see her on TV, you know, most of you are
hubba hubba.
I mean, obviously, you know, I don't actually see gender or color or looks. I'm, you know, more drawn to someone's intellectual contributions. But the point is, you know, you're going to take mine over hers every single time.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
Watch Jimmy's new show, Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America. It is Tuesday, which means we'll be on the Ingram Angle tonight doing WTF, What the Fela. They came up with that name. I actually think it's pretty good. But I would be remiss if I concluded today's show without shouting out Joe Flaherty. You might not recall him offhand. A lot of you will if you watched movies like Stripes and certainly Happy Gilmore. But Joe Flaherty is the voice of one of the drops you've heard on the show quite a bit over the years.
You suck, you jackass.
That's him that is heckling Adam Sandler on the golf course in Happy Gilmore. So he was 82, the late, great Joe Flaherty, passing away after a brief illness. He is certainly off to show business heaven, and he will be missed. And, of course, immortalized on this show, where we constantly, you know, continue to play drops from people even after they've left this earth. I mean, we play this guy all the time, and he's been dead for years.
You know, the rapidly rising
So silly. But man, oh boy, oh man. Okay, the one thing this is going to come back to, for the people who turn out to vote this year, okay, the people who show up in the polls and are passionate about what we do in this election. Okay, it's the conditions, the overall quality of being in their lives. So before we go, I'm going to play you one clip from The View.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
No, but here is Whoopi Goldberg trying to make the case for Biden and saying it's a stupid question to even ask if you're better off now than you were 4 years ago. Notice everything she claims offers no deliverable that can tangibly measure whether anyone's better off, which means they got nothing. Clip 7.
So why is it that some people are having short memory issues? There are plenty of other reasons to feel good about where we actually are. So why isn't that tracking? Black people, we were not in this insanity of trying to figure out why our history is no longer welcome in the educational system.
Lie.
All you have to do to ask, are we better off than we were? Ask the thousands of people who are no longer here.
COVID?
That's how you know if we're better off. Ask their families, are they better off without their loved ones? What a stupid question. It's a stupid question and disrespectful to the American people.
Oh, man.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
First of all, has Black history been taken out of our school curriculum? No, it's not no longer welcome anywhere in our educational system. And when she goes on offense, oh, girl, ask the thousands of people who aren't here. And what is she referencing? COVID. All right, fair question. More people died from COVID under Joe Biden than they did under Donald Trump by a 2-to-1 margin, despite having not one, but two, but three vaccines, Whoopi Goldberg.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
But we don't consider her a medical expert. This is the woman who wanted to make Jill Biden the Surgeon General.
Dr. Jill becomes the Surgeon General. His wife.
Yeah.
Because Joe Biden's wife, because she's, you know, he would never do it, but she's a hell of a doctor. She's an amazing doctor.
I thought she was a doctor and
PhD.
Yeah. I
could be wrong.
Maybe
I thought she was.
Yeah, I think she's a teacher, but.
Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Don't be The View.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.